Yes, the Bible does speak a lot about the tongue. The psalmist in Psalm 50 says that the tongue frames deceit. The psalmist says that the tongue devises destruction and the tongue devours. Psalm 57 said the tongue is a sharp sword. In the Proverbs, many of the Proverbs talk about the tongue. Proverbs 25, the tongue breaks bones. Proverbs 25, 23, the tongue backbites. And the tongue, according to Proverbs 28, is used to flatter. Paul said as he wrote to the Romans, he said the tongue is full of deadly poison. I think it's important for us early in this sermon to realize that the tongue is neither friend nor foe. The tongue is simply a messenger that delivers the dictates of the heart. I hear that again. The tongue's not friend or foe. The tongue is the messenger that dictates the heart. And perhaps when we read the word tongue in Scripture, we would do well to think the word heart. No author in the Bible speaks more about the tongue, the heart, than James in the New Testament. You heard the guys read from the Message, James chapter 3. Powerful, powerful words James wrote concerning the tongue. Let me say three things this morning about the tongue. First, the tongue is small, yet so, so powerful. James chapter 3, the NIV said it this way: when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. James talks of a bit, a rudder, and a spark to illustrate the tongue, so small, yet so powerful. It has always amazed me that with a length of rope, a few strips of leather, and a small piece of metal in a horse's mouth, that a rider can control, most times, can control that huge horse. What an analogy that James gave us, that in the same way the tongue is small, small in our mouth, and yet it controls our whole being. Or it should control. And the rudder on a ship, James said, on a boat. I have to wonder if James today could see the size of boats and ships, but the analogy is even more powerful. The rudder of our body, that small muscle called the tongue. And when you compare the size of the vessel, the size and the wind that controls the rudder, is really just a small part, and yet it guides, is guided by that rudder and the pilot of the boat. James chapter 3, verse 5, he talks about a spark, a smaller than a fingernail, holds such power to destroy thousands of acres. We know that just this spring and summer on the West Coast, throughout California, we see it over and over again, and in New Mexico this year, and Colorado. Oh, the power of fire, starting with just a small spark. My professor in seminary, Dr. Curtis Vaughn, wrote a commentary on the book of James. Dr. Vaughn said this: like fire, when it is controlled, the tongue held in check is a power for great good. But out of control, what havoc both the tongue and fire do cause. The tongue, so small, yet so powerful. Secondly, the tongue is needed. Yes, needed, as we showed the children. It is needed, yet so dangerous. James continues, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it's itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed or have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. Well, James doesn't mince any words, does he, as he continues to describe this tongue. James Moo, a writer in the Tyndale Biblical Commentator, said this: James's words indicate the whole world of evil finds its expression through the tongue. Boastful pride, destructive anger, cutting bitterness, flattering lust, the tongue communicates them all. The inflammatory tongue has turned brother against brother and sister against sister. The tongue has turned neighbor against neighbor and church member against church member and even nation against nation. The tongue, 2-ounce muscle. In these 6 short verses, James has used the analogy of a bit in the mouth of a horse, a rudder on a small boat, a spark leading to a fire. And then James talks of these animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures all have been tamed, but not the tongue. Now, I think it's important for us to note that while we cannot tame the tongue, God can. God can. I may not. I know I can't subdue the tongue. But our God is big. And our God can control, lead us to control. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a regenerate person, controlled by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can have control over our tongue. No, not as a natural man or woman. Our natural humanity, our tongue is full of deadly poison. But a tongue under submission to God should be and could be different, shouldn't it? Shouldn't our tongue, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't we talk different and speak differently? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't there be some difference? James is not writing this to unbelievers. He's writing this to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that believers' tongue under the influence of God should be different. Small, yes. Powerful, indeed. Necessary, but so dangerous. Thirdly, I would say the tongue is helpful, and yet it's so inconsistent. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with the tongue we curse human beings who have been made in the likeness of God Himself. How inconsistent our tongue. We praise and we curse. Again, James is not talking to those who do not know God. He is talking to believers like us. In verse 10, he writes, "My brothers and sisters, this should not be." My brothers and sisters, this should not be. As believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have the potential to control our tongue. We simply don't. We simply don't allow the Spirit do the work that the Spirit longs to do. We just don't want to control our tongue. And so James asks these rhetorical questions as he ends this brief part of Scripture about the tongue. Verse 11 and 12. Can fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? He didn't answer it, but we all know, no. Can a vineyard bear figs? No. Can a fig tree bear olives? Can a vineyard bear figs? Can salt spring produce fresh water? No, no, no. James is talking about the tongue. He's really talking about our heart. The human heart is like nothing in all of nature because nature is consistent. Peach trees produce peaches, not pomegranates, prunes, or pickles. The human heart, through the tongue, however, is capable of producing such inconsistencies. We sing, we have today. We sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. We sing, how great thou art. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We sing our praises. We lift our verses, our voices to God. We give our prayers to God with our mouth, with our tongue, from our heart. With the same mouth and tongue and heart, we curse. We can't wait to get out of church to get to the local restaurant, and we throw a fit. That stupid waitress, why can't she get my order right? How many times do I have to speak so slowly at Whataburger for them just to cut the onions? How dumb can they be? We say, maybe you don't. Yes, you do. With the same mouth, we praise God, and then we talk about those ridiculous darn Democrats, those heartless Republicans. All Muslims are terrorists. Gays and lesbians, let them go to hell. With the same mouth, we praise God, and then we curse the very ones that God created. It's that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde tendency in us. James would say, these things ought not to be, but they are. So what do? I think we again come back to the realization of three things. First, the tongue defiles. Jesus spoke of it. The tongue defiles. Let me read Matthew. Jesus was talking, and the Pharisees, they were all hung up that his disciples weren't washing their hands in the right way. Ceremonially, they were unclean. The Pharisees were always having trouble with Jesus and his disciples. They weren't doing it right. There's a right way and a wrong way. And they said, Jesus, you and your guys, y'all are getting it all wrong. And Jesus said, it's in Matthew 15, verse 10. He looked and said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of the mouth, that's what defiles them. Peter said, what? But we don't get this. And Jesus said, Peter, you are so dull. Verse 17, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these things defile them. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are the things that defile a person. Not eating with unclean hands. The tongue defiles, Jesus says. Also, the tongue defies. That's what James was all about. The tongue defies every attempt that we have as humanity to try to control it. It defies that. We do not have the power in and of ourselves to control the tongue. We just don't. It defies all of that. And finally, the tongue displays who or what we really are. that one hurts, doesn't it? The tongue displays who we are. The early church fathers, one of them said, by examining the tongue, physicians find out the diseases of the body, and philosophers the diseases of the heart. I'm afraid that mouth sins has somehow been domesticated, even entertained in the church today. You know, gossip. I preached about gossip last summer, and we had a challenge from the middle of July to the Labor Day to not gossip. And someone told me that was the longest 6 weeks of their life. We kind of give lip service, you know, gossip. Everyone gossips, and slander, you know, if we don't, someone else will. And complaining and lying and criticizing and judging, those are just kind of naughty little habits that real, they're not that big of a deal. We shouldn't worry about it too much. We're all human. I mean, the devil made me do it. My little problem. The Apostle Paul in Romans 1 said, gossip, slanderers, bad mouthers are in the same category as those who murder, sexual perverts, and haters of God. I couldn't make that up. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. But we can be different. We must be different, O church. The world looks at us and they hear our judgmental attitude. They hear our gossip and our slander. They hear that we have no control over our tongue. And they think they're just like us. No, we're not. Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. What we cannot do, God can do through the power of that Spirit that lives within. One final word. James summed it all up in verse 1. Verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Shall we pray? God, you gave us this tongue. We love to eat and we love to taste. We like to swallow and we love to talk. But you also gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. You gave us the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And whereas I just can't control my tongue, you can. It's not just a little thing that we flippantly talk about and smile about and then go right on gossiping, right on judging, right on criticizing. We look no different than the world around us. James said, brothers and sisters, this can't be. How can we sing today? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, Jesus, I love you. And then verbally abuse those around us, those that we work with, those who serve us, those who we don't agree with, those who we may not even understand, but we are so quick with our tongue to tear them apart. Oh God, change us, mold us, make us more like you. God, we want our religion, our relationship, not to be worthless, but we want it to be real. Oh God, would you do a work in our life? Not our tongue, in our heart. In our heart, oh God. The tongue, neither friend nor foe, the messenger of the heart. Speak to our heart, change our heart, is my prayer, oh God. In Jesus' name.